Hey guys, it is your host, Fun Strong James, bringing you a brand new segment called Your Conversations with God, where I'm going to be interviewing a few of my friends and a few guests to share what their conversations with God sound like. You guys listen to my conversations with God Monday through Saturday, and the Holy Spirit, in a conversation, said it'll be a good idea to share how other people hear from me so that it can help and inspire those who say that they haven't been able to hear from me. So guess what, guys? We are on assignment by God. Let's strap in and let's take a listen at our next guest as they share from their prayer what the Holy Spirit said to them. We're bringing the prayer closet to the podcast. Hey, you guys, welcome to another Sunday of Your Conversations with God. And I'm super excited to welcome my friend, Shamika Hawkins, to this conversation. Hey, Shamika.
Hello. How are you today?
I am doing well. How about yourself?
I am doing amazing.
Good. Hey, I like to hear doing amazing. Well, we're going to go right into it, you guys. I thought about trying to do an intro for Shamika, but I was like, you know what? Shamika probably can tell us about herself more than I can. But I will say that I met Shamika last year in 2019 during the 1 hour prayer challenge. She was also in that life group. And if you guys listened to last week's episode, I was telling you guys how I started praying and hearing from God and how this all, you know, this podcast and blog all got kicked off. And so Shamika was also a part of that 1 hour prayer challenge. And so Shamika, tell us a little bit about who you are. And then also, what made you join the 1 hour prayer challenge last year?
Okay. Well, I'll start with just an introduction. Basically, I was born in Joliet, Illinois, and at the age of 5, my family moved to Hattiesburg, and then we later moved here in Jackson, where I've been the majority of my life. I graduated from Murrah High School. Go Mustangs!
Oh my goodness!
And I went to Alcorn State University for my...
Oh my goodness!
Yes! Go Braves! for my undergraduate degree. And from there, I was planning on majoring in pre-medicine. And so God just kind of redirected my path, because after graduation, I ended up doing a year of service through, it's called Jackson Servant Leadership Corps. It's no longer in existence, unfortunately, but it was a partnership with AmeriCorps. And so I lived in community with 4 other young ladies, and we all worked in the inner city, and we lived downtown. And so my predominant job was at Stupak Community Services. So with that job, my main assignment was to work with the after school program. But of course, the students didn't come until that afternoon. So during the day, I had the privilege of working with the homeless population and also working in the food pantry. And I will say that that experience was probably one of the greatest experiences of my life, just being able to serve. And so we'd all come back home from our inner city jobs. We all worked at different places, and we'd have meals together. We'd study the Bible together. So it was just an awesome experience. And so from that experience, God directed me into the path of education. And this will be my 20th year working in a school setting. And
wow.
Yeah. So I'm also married to a wonderful man, and we have two children. So that's just kind of my background of who I am. Also, the reason why I joined the prayer challenge was because I wanted to take my relationship with God to a whole nother level. And, you know, it's one thing to have the accountability and do it in community with other people. And that experience was definitely life-changing for me. I began to see things spiritually in a whole nother light. I began to hear from God even the more clearer. So it was just an amazing experience for me.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. Now, I'm not going to take any digs at you because you went to both rival schools in high school and college.
Yes.
But praise be to God, we are sisters in Christ.
Amen.
Regardless of where we got our education from. It's all love. It's all JPS and swag love.
All I'll say that. Love. Absolutely.
You know, that is so amazing and so interesting, the path and the journey that God took you on, and how you said that he rerouted you. And then how just last year, because it sounds like even as you were going through college and got this reroute and did this working with the Stew Pot, which is just absolutely amazing. But that even last year, you had this longing to deepen that relationship with him. Tell us a little bit about how that felt for you, or what that looked like for you, just that yearning or that pulling, if you will. Like, what did that feel like, or what did that look like for you?
For me, ever since I was a young girl, I felt the pulling and the drawing of God. And it's just like with any relationship, you have to start somewhere and you just take it to the next level. And so for me, I knew in order to be catapulted into the next level that God had for me, that I had to not only desire more and seek more, but be open to the more that God had made available for me. And so it was just a yearning and a desire to just be, you know, in that particular fellowship relationship with God.
Right. And so you tied it to, because I want to help the listeners understand what that yearning and that desire is. And you tied it to relationship. Right. And then you said you're married to an amazing man. So for those that are like, well, what does that yearning and desire feel like, or what does it look like? Can you go into a little bit more detail? And if you want to use your relationship, you know, to help us see what you mean by that, feel free to do that. But what does that desire and yearning feel like?
It's almost like, have you ever thought that you wanted something and then you receive it and you're like, there's got to be more. Like, there's just more to it than this. And so it's like, I'm not satisfied. Like, there's more of God that I'm desiring, that I'm seeking. And the more you spend time with God in fellowship, however that looks like for each individual person, the more you desire it. You know, take, for example, in a relationship, you know, a dating relationship. It's just one of those things where initially you're just trying to get to know that person and you're desiring more, and you just want to spend every single moment that you can learning about that person. And that's kind of how it is in our relationship with God. And it's like, there's always something more that you can learn about him that you just desire. And it's like, the more you get of him, the more you desire. And that's what it's like for me, just a desire to have more of him in my life.
Now that's so good. I want to help somebody, because I feel right now that somebody is listening and they're probably battling, well, is it when I don't have that desire, am I still in good, you know, like some people may feel like, well, I pray, but I don't have like what you're talking about, like a deep desire, this yearning, this wanting more. Help a person out who may feel some kind of way that they don't feel that deep desire. Like, I want it more, but I feel like I'm drawing back. What could that possibly be that they're experiencing?
I would have to say, just because you're in that place doesn't necessarily mean that you don't desire more of God. For some people, they just don't know what it looks like, or they don't know how to seek or to get in the position to receive of that. You know, I feel like the more you spend time and the more you pour out your heart and show him what you're truly seeking after, not his hands, what he can provide for you, but you're desiring more of his face, that intimate relationship with him and his heart, then the more you spend the quality time, the more you'll want it.
Yeah. And I was thinking too, just to add to that, just when you have a real encounter with him, it's like, I want more of that. Yes. I remember when we first started doing the 1 hour prayer challenge last, and I just remember that those initial encounters, and then fast forward like 8 months later, a year later, you know, over a year, I remember having this feeling like, I want more of that. Like, why am I not getting that? I want more of that. And it was really just, like you said, just continuing to seek him. Sometimes we can't go based on our feelings.
No.
You know, and it's like, and I hope we're helping a lot of people just by talking about this, because sometimes it's like, you know how it is. We love our kids, but sometimes we don't feel like, you know, doing the things that it requires
as
a parent. Doesn't mean we don't love them and we don't desire for them to have the best life.
Right.
But sometimes on our flesh, our human selves are just like, well, I don't feel like and we can begin to compare ourselves, which is a dangerous game. But right. I hope we've been able to help a few people understand that even if you're not like jumping off the, you know, just like, oh, I can't wait. Even if you're not expressing it like that, like you said, Shamika, it may be coming in a whole different way, but it doesn't mean that you don't desire or have that yearning to want to experience God more. But I think when you really truly have an encounter with him, there's no mistake about it. Like,
exactly.
You're like, I want to get more of a good restaurant. When you go to a good restaurant, and you just like, oh, I gotta have more.
And that's part of the taste and see that the Lord is good. Once you get that taste and you see, you desire even more, and it becomes to the point where, like you mentioned, a restaurant. You go to a quality restaurant, and you know you can taste quality food, and the service is quality. You're not going to be content with just going to Wendy's and McDonald's all the time, because you've experienced something more.
Ooh,
and that's kind of how it is with God. When you experience the more, not only does your expectation level increase and your desire increase, but just overall the intimacy between you and God increases.
Yeah, that's so good. Oh, I'm so glad you said that. So glad you said that. You're so right. Taste and see that the Lord is okay. So now you mentioned hearing from God. When did you start hearing from God, and what was that experience like?
Okay, so I would have to say probably around the age of 10 or 11, I began to, again, that longing was there for more. I would go to church and I would leave thinking, there's got to be more. Like, I just was wanting more. And I can remember my dad had bought me this stereo, and I remember just playing gospel music and just really sensing the presence of God just so heavily at that age. I'm reminded of age 13. When I was 13 years old, my appendix, my intestines, my bowels all ruptured. Initially, my parents took me to the doctor. They said it was a stomach virus. So fast forward a few days later, my parents took me back to the doctor. I was literally walking parallel almost to the ground. They got me to the doctor. This time they did a blood count. My white blood cell count was through the roof. He said, do not go home. Do not stop. Go straight to the hospital. They got me to the hospital and found out that all that had ruptured in me. Typically when appendix ruptures, it's poisonous. It cannot be in your system for hours. It had been in my system for days. It was a week before they could tell my parents whether I would even live or not. And I remember one night in the hospital, and at this point, my parents just still didn't even know if I was going to make it. And I remember my mom being in the bathroom, and I'm almost tearing up just talking about it. And I can just remember her calling out to God and praying for me. And various church members just coming by my bed and praying for me. And God miraculously, and it is a miracle. The doctor will even tell you it's a miracle. Her bedside manner was so horrific because she was scared to get attached to me because she didn't even think I would make it. And as I began to get well, of course, her continence and everything changed. I'm speaking of the doctor. But God healed me. And through that, even at the age of 13, he was showing me, I have you here for a purpose. Mm. It's not your time. Even at that age, that young age. And then I remember going off to college at 18. You know, most people think teenager, you know, I'm going to find the man of my dreams. I literally found the man of my dreams, Jesus, when I went to college. And of course, I knew him, but there was just such an elevation of our relationship that I just can't even explain. Just being in community with other people and just being able to hear him. And I'll never forget, a few years after that, I was in my parents' home, still in college. Everybody else was gone. I was at the kitchen sink, and I heard for the first time the audible voice of God. And he said, "Nail my word to your heart." And I'll never forget that. That's been over 20 something years ago. And I remember just like it was yesterday, him saying that to me. And that just kind of springboarded some other things in ministry as well. So it started as early as at the age of 10 or 11.
Wow. I'm over here in wiping away tears because first of all, I'm just emotional. If I hear you crying, I'm going to cry. But that just resonated so much with me because even for me this morning, the Lord was telling me, you know, spend more time in my word and let your children spend more time in my word. Like, let them see you spending more time. Yes. So that they can spend more time. And you know how old my children are. 9. My son just turned 9 yesterday. And my daughter is 11.
Same age and as so, my children.
Yeah. And so this morning, when he told me that, I know, like, being urgently obedient is the thing. Like, and so this morning I said, y'all, we're doing something different. And so they both were in their rooms with their Bibles, with a notepad. And I literally was showing my children. Now, I've been doing this over a year since the 1-hour prayer challenge. Mm-hmm. But I said, this is it. You're going to pray. You're going to read the word. And you're going to write down what you hear. And just hearing you talk about how early it was when you started hearing from God, it just... I know this whole conversation is not a coincidence on today because of what he said to me and what actually occurred with my own children this morning, because he's saying, I need you to make sure that you're doing the right thing now. You don't just be doing it in your space, in your closet, in your prayer closet. Your children need to see you, but not just see you. You need to train them up. Like, that's what it says, train them up in the way that they should go. And training is not just, you know, like I've been talking to you about homeschooling. That's just not the only training that I should be doing as their mother. And so just to hear your testimony about what age you were and how at age 18, my goodness, I really wish I had had that experience at 18. Maybe I should have went to the reservation. Maybe I should have went to Encore, because clearly... the urban university had a whole different experience for me. But praise be to God.
Yes.
You know, I can keep my children from having to take the long road.
And absolutely, you know? Fine. That is the key. And it's funny you should say that, because this was, for me, growing up, I saw my mom doing her devotion in the morning. I saw her not starting her day until she did that. And I knew that I needed my children to see that. And so we started with them young, having a quiet time. And so my husband has been home with them this summer. And so he started something with them where they're having to actually write. So they go over a verse and they talk about how to apply it. So they're actually writing it. And so Sunday, after we were watching service with my son, the 11-year-old, and I said, what can you do this week to increase or to draw closer to God? And he said, I could read my Bible more. And I said, that sounds like a good idea, buddy. So I got home today, put my stuff down. And he said, Mama, guess what? I said, what? He said, I read my devotion. He said, but I also read in my Bible, I read the story about Aquila. And I thought, God, thank you. You know, thank you that at this age, they're learning so that this is your word is instilled in them. So no matter what the enemy tries to throw at them, whatever dart, whatever weapon, it won't prosper.
That's right.
The weapon will form, but it won't prosper because the word of God is hidden in their heart.
Yes, that's so good. Oh, so good. Yes, that's so good. So y'all, everybody that's listening, I hope you guys are taking mad notes and getting all these nuggets that Shamika is dropping as a mother, you know, and raising our kids, because, you know, a lot of us have had to parent, like you said, your husband's been with the kids all summer, and both of you guys are educators,
right?
But just being able to train our kids up, because, you know, truth be told, prayer has been taken out of schools, and there's not a lot of God in the school. And so I believe even now we have an opportunity to make sure with this extra time that we have that our kids are definitely being trained in the way that they should go, and getting that word deep down in their heart so that they won't make any of the mistakes that we made growing up.
Definitely.
So one of the things I want to ask you is, how do you capture what the Holy Spirit says to you when you hear from him?
For me, it is imperative that I write it down because, you know, we have all good intentions, but sometimes the details get lost over time. And so for me, I have to write it down. God deals with me a lot in dreams. And so I have a dream journal, and then I just have a regular journal. And so what I found is that with the dream journal, as soon as I wake up, if I'm not able to write it immediately, then I may go in the restroom or go somewhere where I'm not disturbing anybody early in the morning and just record it. And then when I'm awake, then I can just write the details. But I'm telling you, so many little small things like colors and sounds and smells, once you wake up, sometimes that's just snatched away. You don't recall those things. And for me, just being able to look back at it a month later and say, oh God, you showed me that, or this is what you were speaking. And a lot of times the dreams are just for me to pray and to intercede for people about certain things. So I would have to say the way that I capture those, the leading, the speaking of the Holy Spirit is to journal it. For example, you know, prayer, through prayer. Sometimes I hear things through prayer, and I just have to go ahead and journal it. So it's just so important, you know, when you have the time, when you're praying, and even in those times after you pray and you're just sitting still in the presence of God, have that journal to write. This past weekend, I got up early and I went out to the reservoir, and it was just absolutely beautiful. And I just sat there at a picnic table with my Bible. I read and I just sat there, and I just sensed the presence of God so strong, and I wrote. And it was just beautiful, and it was what I needed at that moment, and it brought so much peace and serenity.
That's so good. That's so good. And you know, what's interesting is that you said, I got up and I just went. Like, you just went. You didn't I think a lot of people sometimes God will prompt us to do things, and there are so many other things that get in the way of us just doing what he says. You know,
yes,
you felt the unction to just go to the reservoir and sit. You didn't like, okay, well, I need to make sure that the kids have something to eat. I need to make, you know, like, you probably didn't even go through all that. You probably just said, this is what he, you know, this is what I feel like, yeah, I need to do. And then you just went. And so I encourage people to just, when you are prompted, just go.
Just go.
Because it is, I know I did, last year I was in Miami and I went to the beach for my prayer time.
Oh, goodness.
Last year. Oh my goodness. Listen, I'm like, and I'm near the reservoir, so I probably can go myself to because again, the taste
yes.
of that experience of being by the water and just
yes.
seeing the sunrise,
yes.
and just, it was the most amazing experience. And I'm
yes.
like, oh my goodness. And I almost didn't go for the reasons I'm talking about. Like, oh, I was there with a group of women. And so I'm like, oh, if I wake them up, well, I still got to pray. So I'm going to have to wait. You know, if they wake up, they're going to wake up. And when I go out the door, and then I'm like, well, if I go to the beach, like, I'm out there by myself. I hope,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
I'm being cautious. Like, I don't want anybody, you know, all these different things. And it's like, no, the Lord will protect you. You will be fine. If they wake up, they can go back to sleep. Like, let's just let all the excuses go and do what the Lord is prompting us to do.
And I think instant obedience, when we instantly obey what we feel as though God is leading us to do, we don't leave room and opportunity for the enemy to bring thoughts to prevent us from doing what he told us to do. It's not just obedience, it's instant obedience.
Yes, yes. Instant obedience. I call it urgent, but I like instant. I like instant.
Same concept.
Instant oatmeal. Okay, final question as we wrap up this awesome conversation. What was the last assignment God gave you?
I would have to say, we've kind of been talking about it. The last assignment that God gave me was to take my consecration to another level. At the beginning of the year, I did a vision board, and I put on those things, all the things that I desired, and also the things that I knew that the Lord was leading me in the direction of. And I felt really strongly that for, in terms of consecration, one aspect was fasting. I fasted, but it was like, it's time to take this up a notch. And so just lately, he's really been dealing with me about that, even not just the fasting aspect, but just what, because this is a part of consecration too, monitoring what I let in my ear gate and my eye gate. Television, you know, there's a show, and I will not name the show because some of our listeners may watch the show, and it's fine. And I
come
said,
on,
oh,
what
this
is the show?
No, and I'm gonna say this because what's permissible for you may not be permissible for me, and what's permissible for me may not be permissible for you.
That's
and
good.
So we have to know what God is calling us to do. And so
on an individual basis, that's
exactly.
Right.
So I watched the show, and I knew as that show was going off, the Holy Spirit was saying, no more. And so I had to let that go. And there's certain things, like I don't watch a whole lot of TV anymore. There's just certain things that he said, I'm calling you higher.
Yeah.
And in order to go higher, just think, if you're being elevated and you're going higher, you can't have a whole lot of weight. The lighter you are, the higher you're going to be able to go. And so some of these things are going to have to drop off. And some of these weights, like some of the things I'm watching, some of the things that I may be listening to. And for me, there's certain music God won't allow me to listen to. And so it's just knowing what it is. First of all, what is God calling you to do? What has he called you to steward over? What has he entrusted you to do? And then as you know what he's called you to do, knowing what it takes to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing what you can't allow to come alongside of you as you do that.
That's right. That's right. Oh, man. This conversation, y'all, I'm telling y'all, if y'all, I just got to be honest because that I just like to be transparent. Okay, so guys, it's literally Tuesday, okay, July 14th, but you're not going to hear this until Sunday. But I just want you to listen to my podcast from July 14th because literally he told me to consecrate myself. And the fact that you're saying this, oh my goodness, I literally talked about this and you and I have not talked about this at all.
No.
You don't even know. You probably hadn't even listened to the podcast or anything, but just, oh my goodness, he said that to me this morning about consecrating myself. And I looked it up because I didn't want to assume that I knew what it meant. Like you just said, like for some people, the show may be okay, and for others, it may not. And so consecration for me may look totally different in with you consecrating yourself. And so we just have to listen to the Holy Spirit tell us exactly what that means. But that is so, wow. I would never, that will never, this right here, confirmation from the Holy Spirit will never stop being just wow to me, like
mind blowing.
Like just yes, just mind blowing. I just love when he does that, when he'll say something to me and then I'll hear about it over here, and then you and I had this conversation book since a few days ago, and then you're saying this without, I mean, I just love when he does that. It's like, oh my goodness, you're so amazing, Lord. You are so amazing. Yes. Well, before we end, I want you to share with us about your business, what you guys do. I know y'all do quite a bit, but whatever you decide that you want to share with the listeners about what you're doing, where God is taking you, feel free to do that at this time. And we'll make sure we link everything in the show notes.
Okay. First, I want to just start with one, our outreach ministry that we have. It's called Living Hope Outreach Ministry. So from a young age, as I told you, I have been in a home where I've been taught to serve. I've followed my mom to do prison ministry, to do ministry in nursing homes, to just minister to people in the communities. So from an early age, I've had a servant's heart. And so our desire with this outreach is to just be the hands, the feet of Jesus to people that we encounter. And so with this ministry, we just seek to do that. And so our most recent outreach that we've had, which we unfortunately haven't been able to do, one day I was in prayer and God showed me elderly people, and I could just feel his heart breaking. And he specifically showed me that he wanted the ministry to minister to those that were in nursing homes who did not have a soul to ever come visit them. Oh. And so I shared that with my husband and with the children. And we packed up one Christmas, went to the nursing home, met this sweet lady who has no one to come see her, met her Christmas morning, and we've been in contact. And so we sent her a card because we hadn't been able to go back since this whole virus thing. Mm-hmm. And she sent a card back and she said, in her little writing, the best she could do, "Thank you for being my friend." When I say tears just flooded, and my children were just so blessed by it. So a lot of times when we think we're blessing people, they're blessing us. Mm-hmm. Because there's no amount of anything that I could have been given from that little card to just make such a significant impact on me. And so we just seek to do those types of things, bless people financially. So that's the outreach. We also have a coaching and consulting business. It's called Empower Living, where we seek to help individuals, adolescent through adults, who are dealing with, particularly with grief and anxiety issues. And I chose this particular niche because a lot of times we can go and seek out help and people will just kind of give you book knowledge. But I've experienced that firsthand with the death of my father, and never before having anxiety and panic attacks to having it after his death, and God just walking me through the whole grieving process and just walking me through how to manage and how to just eradicate the anxiety. And so I want to be able to be a blessing and help other people walk through that. And so that's what that ministry is. It's called, it's www.empoweringyourtoday.com. So that's pretty much what we have going at this time.
That is amazing. Y'all, I have enjoyed this conversation with Shamika Hawkins so much that, you know, sometimes I just hate when the conversations have to end and then it's people that are, you know, regular, I'm like, girl, that podcast was super long. I'm like, it was literally 30 minutes. What are you talking about? You watch a show for an hour, exactly. You know, you watch a documentary for 2 hours, but I certainly appreciate you for accepting this invitation, which y'all know I don't bring anybody on this podcast, this Sunday segment of the podcast, unless the Holy Spirit tells me to. And she and I was just in a conversation the other day, and he just said, Shamika, that's who's going to be on the show. And I'm like, all right, let me ask. And I typically don't even ask. I typically just tell people, hey, the podcast Sunday, you want to be on it? Let me tell you, this is what we're going to do, you know, so. I appreciate and honor you as a woman of God of being obedient and just accepting this and sharing your heart. Like, you have helped me and encouraged me so much just from this conversation. And I pray that everyone who tunes in, whether they tune in, you know, when this drops or whether they tune in a year or two from now, I pray that they are blessed by what you have shared with us here today. So thank you so much, Shamika.
Thank you so much for having me. You are truly a blessing to the body of Christ. And I just pray that God's blessings continue to overtake you for your willing heart and just the spirit that you have to help people.
Oh, thank you so much, Shamika.
Thank you.
All right, y'all.
What an amazing episode that was. Oh my goodness, you guys. Listen, your assignment is always going to be, what is your conversation with God? What was that conversation that you had with God this morning or this afternoon or this evening? Either way, make sure you're having a conversation with God and make sure you're listening and tuning in, because He is always speaking in the still small voice. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you next week. Have a great day.